It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning, of course, on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple and wherever you get your podcasts from this morning. And halfway through our working week, already up to December the 6th of 2023. Now, here's a question for you. How many Australians do you know of that buy overseas properties? I know of a few, and the reasons are as varied as their different personalities as to why they want to own property outside of Australia. So we are going to take a look at the whole idea of buying offshore this morning and whether or not it's a good idea for you. What are the pros and the cons, and is it truly a good investment? We are off this morning to the luxury market of Toorak in Melbourne. When I say those two words, luxury market, we think of one person. Sitting there is Antoinette Nido from RT Edgar. And good morning and welcome back, Antoinette. Getting very close to Christmas now.
Good morning, Craig. Thank you for having me.
And I was talking to Judy there in Queensland the other day. She was telling me about that number, 27% women working in real estate in Queensland. Were you surprised? Are you surprised by that number? I didn't realise it was as low as that.
Look, I think it is on the low side, and I think there are some reasons for that. I think real estate traditionally has been the bastion of males, and it has been traditionally a fairly blokey culture. But women make fabulous real estate agents. 50% of our vendors are women. And personally, from a personal point of view, a lot of my clients are single older women, and they love that I listen to them, give them the care and the patience, and to meet them where they're at. You know, I can still negotiate a very, very good result for their property, but it's done with a lot of care and they like that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference, isn't there? Particularly with older women where, you know, their husband might have died, there may be a change in circumstances of the marriage, whatever. They do like that sort of hand-holding, don't they? And I think it becomes a little bit more easier when a woman is nurturing, let's say, an older woman, as you've described.
And not just older women, but I think that's very true, because buying and selling a home can be very emotional. Taking the vendor on a journey and being with them every step of the way, as you say, in a caring, nurturing, but also get the business done. It's a balance between all those factors, which is important, because it's no good to have a nurturing agent who can't deliver the results.
All right. Well, we will come back. We will talk about whether or not buying an overseas property with Antoinette is a good idea, and we will do that next.
Listen to in-depth discussions with industry leaders on investing options, understanding different suburbs with insider perspectives and exclusive tips.
Well, it was good news. The Reserve Bank has opted to maintain stability, holding the cash rate at 4.35%, as Anthony Landau told us all yesterday.
The RBA has decided to hold rates. There was obviously the rate rise in November, taking our cash rate to 4.35%, the 13th rate rise. A little bit of a wait-and-see approach, I think, from the governor today, and they've decided to hold rates in the run-up to Christmas.
Well, you picked it too. I was talking to you last week and you said that that's where you thought the smart money was.
Yeah, we thought that they might hold this time, I think. There is some mood around that maybe the full impact of interest rates hasn't flown through the economy yet.
Well, that was yesterday, and if you are a borrower, you can breathe a little bit easier, at least until February of 2024, as no January meeting is scheduled. Economists at the moment are split, some speculation, of course, on a potential rate decrease next, but that is totally heavily contingent on December's inflation data. And right at the moment, everybody is out there spending, so we will find out the result of that soon enough. If you're celebrating your birthday for today, December the 6th, many happy returns. Just the one well-known personality celebrating his birthday, Andrew Flintoff, the cricketer. Can you believe he is 45 years old? It didn't seem that long ago that we saw him in his whites in the Ashes, of course, against Australia.
It's the Main Centre forecast.
And around the country, let's check on the weather. First, we go to Sydney, expecting a sunny day. 27 is your forecast top. In Melbourne, expect a little bit of cloud, but sunshine, and your high 22. Brisbane, expecting fine and sunny. Your temperature 31 today. And in Perth, blue skies, and your temperature 30.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
And it's another Real Estate Wednesday across Australia, and we are talking to Antoinette Nido from RT Edgar in Toorak in Melbourne, and we are talking about Australians buying international properties, a hot topic at the moment, Australians buying overseas. So let's dive into this, the pros and the cons with Antoinette. And where are the Australians buying, Antoinette? I guess that's the first question.
Look, the data that I'm seeing shows that Australians tend to buy in the UK, the US and some parts of Europe and, of course, Asia. And I think that is reflective of our cultural diversity as a nation. The UK and US is easier to for Australians to buy into because of the laws. And, of course, the language barrier isn't there. So a lot of Australians own, you know, a peer-to-peer in London, for example. That's been a popular market. The US, some of my very, you know, high net worth clients have got fabulous apartments in New York, for example. And Aspen is an interesting market in Colorado. And I actually have a property that I'm selling in Aspen at the moment. And that's a very popular spot with Sydney siders and Melbourne clientele alike.
Yeah, don't forget the UAE, because a lot of Australians are into that luxury high end in Dubai, of course. So let's talk about some of the pros. What are the pros, do you think?
Well, I think the pros can be, again, that if you have a background, you know, there are a big high Greek population in Melbourne, a high Italian population in Melbourne, or Chinese. So the pros is often these groups will want a home in line with where their heritage is. The advantage of that is that there might be a very successful business person of Italian or Greek origin, and they may say, well, I've done well here. I'd like a home in my motherland so that I can visit and have an all-year-round holiday home. Sometimes there can be a potential, there can be tax benefits. It's an opportunity to diversify your investments. I know certainly some of my clients bought in America when, during the GFC, prices in America really plummeted. Same in Europe when there was the, you know, at one stage there was the Eurozone, a lot of talk about that all but plummeting. And some very astute Australians bought counter-cyclically in those markets and have done very well.
And what about the cons? That's all very well, having a look at the pros, but there's always the cons, isn't there? So name a few of those for us to think about this morning.
Well, the key thing, which is an obvious one, is the language barrier. You know, different laws of ownership that one needs to navigate. The third one would be currency fluctuations. So if you've bought, you know, with a high dollar and then it deflates, it can have an adverse impact or a windfall because, you know, the value of your property will be subject to currency fluctuations, which can be good and can be bad.
Yeah, and when it comes to buying a property overseas outside of Australia, often it's a bit of a romantic notion, of course, laced for many people with impractical outcomes. You know, on one hand, sounds like a really great idea. On the other hand, not so much. So is it, do you think, in the long term, a good idea investing overseas?
Look, you need to take a holistic approach when you are investing, but I think you are spot on. You know, the romantic notion of buying a castle in France, which a lot of Australians did, is fabulous, only just to navigate, you know, the very significant renovation costs, heritage constraints of renovating these old homes. So is it a good idea? Is it an investment? There are pros and cons on both sides. And like any property investment, timing is critical and making sure that you buy in the right location. So if I have a client come in the door in my Toorak office, I will guide them even in Toorak and South Yarra, good pockets that represent good value, pockets that may not grow as well as other streets. Other streets will always perform well. But if you're going into a different country, often it's difficult to have that information at your fingertips, and very much buyer beware.
Yeah, you talk about buying the castle only to do the massive reno. It also extends to a subject that we've covered a little bit, and that is some of these €1 houses that they were selling. It sounds really great, but then you've got to do a substantial renovation. So which countries then do you think are the easiest to buy property in outside of Australia?
Look, I would think places like the UK and the US, because of the laws are similar, you don't have the language barrier. They would be the two that come to mind.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. That's something for people to think about, buying luxury properties outside of Australia. You're on the wind-up now, of course. Christmas not too far away. I'll let you get out there and do those last-minute deals. Great to chat. Talk to you next time.
Thanks, Craig. All the best to you.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
How much of this is happening on the small side of parcels of land where it's being subdivided?
As far as I'm aware, it's only been done twice recently in Queensland, once in Bulimba in the last few months as well. The corner blocks are a little bit more, obviously a little bit more rare, right, on any given street. And therefore, if people are looking to subdivide, most people typically considering a standard split right down the middle. But we've got some owners that wanted to retain some more land so they could build a slightly bigger home for the family using the proceeds of the sale, for which has been achieved.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.